Well, I think I've told you before how much I flat out love baseball. And in thinking about that, there's a lot of aspects to baseball that are great metaphors for life, the idea of teamwork, the idea of coming home, bunches of different things. But one in particular struck me as interesting because it's not really consistent with what the word really means, and that is the sacrifice fly or the sacrifice bunt or the sacrifice hit. Now, when you think about a sacrifice is something that costs you something. It means that you're willing to give up something for someone else or something else. And so, in reading the, when I was looking up concerning is the sacrifice fly counted as an at bat? It reads this way: the purpose of not counting a sacrifice fly as an at-bat is to avoid penalizing hitters for a successful action. The sacrifice fly is one of two instances in baseball where a batter is not charged with a time at-bat after putting a ball in play. The other is the sacrifice hit, also known as a sacrifice bunt. And so the people that are putting together the scorekeeping have ruled that it won't cost the batter if he's willing to do this and at bat, which would affect his average, which would affect when at the end of the year when they look at him, how did he do that year? If all he ever did was hit sacrifice flies or a sacrifice bunt, sacrifice hit, then it would be seen as him never being at bat. And so his average would not be affected. And so if he's doing well in other aspects of the game, then they would look at it and say, wow, the same is true when someone walks. So it really isn't a sacrifice completely because it has to cost him. And granted, it costs him the time on the base paths. He has no chance to get a run. He might get a run batted in, but he cannot get a run. He cannot be counted as something that, where he crosses the plate. And so when I think about that, I think that truly isn't a sacrifice. And we come to this last lesson as we're looking at the life of David, and we're in chapter 24 of the book of 2 Samuel. And it says this: and Gad came that day to David and said to him, go up, raise an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. So David went up at Gad's word, as the Lord commanded. And when Araunah looked down, he saw the king and his servants coming on toward him. And Araunah went out and paid homage to the king with his face to the ground. And Araunah said, why has my lord the king come to his servant? David said, to buy the threshing floor from you in order to build an altar to the Lord, that the plague may be averted from the people. Then Araunah said to David, let my lord the king take and offer up what seems good to him. Here are the oxen for the burnt offering, and the threshing sledges, and the yokes of the oxen for the wood. All this, O king, Araunah gives to the king. And Araunah said to the king, may the Lord your God accept you. But the king said to Araunah, no, but I will buy it from you for a price. I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God that cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. Last verse, and David built there an altar to the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. The Lord responded to the plea for the land, and the plague was averted from Israel. See, when David had sinned by taking a census of the people, a plague ravaged the land for 3 days. As the angel of the Lord stretched out his hand to strike Jerusalem, however, God stopped him and spared that city. This took place at the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. And in response to this act of mercy, David was instructed to erect an altar to the Lord on that site. When David went to build an altar and made the sacrifice, he was presented with what seemed like a great deal. Araunah offered to freely give him both the land for the altar and the oxen for the sacrifice. But But David rejected his offer. How could he make a sacrifice that cost him nothing? And the two were incompatible. See, too often when it comes to sacrifice, Christians are looking for a bargain. We want the most sacrifice for the least expense. We want lots of gain but little pain. Yet such a combination simply isn't possible. A sacrifice is only worth what you pay for it. So we shouldn't go looking for sacrifices at a discount. God will have no cheap sacrifices. And we need to be willing to pay the full price if we want the full benefit. And if it isn't a sacrifice to you, it isn't a sacrifice for you. And so when you think about that, how much of these two statements here reflect today's culture? One, we want the most sacrifice for the least expense, or two, we want lots of gain but little pain. Is that little or somewhat or very much or exactly? And what's the implication of this statement pertaining to your service for the Lord? Without sacrifice, there is no fire. 1 Kings 18:38 said this, "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench." So what's the likelihood that we will be in difficult situations because we are a Christian? Is it not likely? Is it possible? Is it probable? Is it very likely? Jesus even talks about these things that don't make sense sometimes. He said, Matthew 10:39, "He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." And so the Bible in Romans 12:1-2 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Romans 12:1-2.